Brothers and sisters, this exhortation has been a bit of a struggle because I've had two goes at already speaking about the subject of the heart, and I've thrown it out there for a bit of feedback and met with some disagreement and some curiosity and not a real lot of understanding about it. And that sort of troubled me a little bit because it's something that's quite a heavy scriptural topic, and yet we don't talk about it, we don't understand it properly. I think we dwell on the edges of it. I know that some of the older people in scripture, we've just read about Abraham through faith preparing to sacrifice Isaac, and I think to myself, what was going on in Abraham's head? How did he reason his way through it? And it's not reason that got him to where he was with that place of sacrifice with Isaac. It was something far, far deeper than just thinking. So we're going to have another look at the subject and hopefully just maybe clarify a few things, because this is my journey and I'm hoping to take you people on it with me. Just for a recap, the original question was, how come people can read the same piece of scripture, in fact have the whole Bible, and yet not come to an understanding of it, and others can? What makes the difference? My second exhortation included the verse from 1 Kings 3:9 where Solomon requested from God a wise and understanding heart in order to rule his people, his nation of Israel, and God gave it to him. He satisfied that request. We touched on an institute I found. This is an aside rather than part of the main topic. It was not something I went looking for to bolster an argument, if you like, but it was an interest that connected the whole thing together. The HeartMath Institute in the States, that was formed to test the neuron connection between the heart and the brain and the communication. And amazingly enough, they found that 84% of the communication between the heart and the brain was from the heart to the brain, and only 16% was the other way. So in that physical instance, the heart had a bigger influence on what happened in the brain than the other way around. So how does that happen? Being curious once again and thinking it's reasonably important to understand where our relationship with God is in matters of this thing with the heart. So why is it important to understand? And why would David say in Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So why would David find it necessary to speak about things of the heart being cleansed if there wasn't some relevance to the heart? And I know there's figurative and literal, and I went looking for the literal in the Old Testament, and the only literal instance that I could pin down as being entirely literal and not figurative was Absalom being caught in his hair in the tree, and Joab with three darts thrust from through his heart. And that was the only instance in the Old Testament that I could find of a literal instance of the word heart being used. There were others that could go either way, obviously. Okay, now why is it important to understand? Because we are commanded in Deuteronomy 6:5, and we all know this, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. And this is so important because it's repeated again three times in the New Testament, in Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:30 and Luke 10:27 all repeat the same command that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and might. The result of that being, if we get it right, is that we are blessed in a way that fits with what is said in Matthew 5 verse 8 when we're talking about the Beatitudes, because it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now if we don't know what's in our heart or how it relates to our relationship with God, how are we to know when we need to purify our hearts? And this has relevance to what we're here for today. And if our hearts are not pure, then it's quite simple. We will not see God. That separates us from God. So the importance suddenly ratcheted up quite a number of levels for me. It's something that, okay, I need to find a lot more about this. We know, just as an additional connection here, we know that the heart is actually connected to the mind. Ephesians 4 verse 23 repeats the words of being renewed in heart, but it talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there is that connection of renewal that encompasses both mind and heart. And we all know that if our heart isn't subject to the mind in some ways, especially when we speak, then sometimes what comes out of our mouth without being moderated by the mind can be a little bit unruly. So we sometimes need to stop and think before we open our mouths to utter what's in our hearts. Now I thought, okay, the heart would be quite a simple subject. It's not. It's quite a big subject. In fact, I thought I'd go looking for references just to put together to explain what I'm thinking, and pulled up on the Bible reference the instances of mentions of the heart in Scripture. 884 of the word heart by itself. Words associated with the word heart, another 200 or more. Over 1,000 references to things to do with the heart. So it got quite complicated all of a sudden. How do I wade my way through that lot? So wade my way I did. I actually scrolled through most of those references. Not looking for arguments to bolster what I'm thinking, but to explain what it is that God wants us to know about matters of the heart. In the Old Testament, the word heart is the Hebrew word rather lay, L-E with a funny thing above it, B. And it means literally heart, as in 2 Samuel where we read about Job and Absalom. However, it's also used in Genesis 6:15, where man's heart is said to be evil continually. Now, for a physical thing to be described as evil continually takes it past that literalness of the heart just being an organ that pumps blood around our body. Okay, a mechanical pump can't be evil in itself. So there's an aspect of the heart that is said to be evil in man continually. And the same thoughts are continued also in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, where we find that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, etc. So the heart has this evil tendency in man. It's something that we struggle with. It's something that we need to address. In my mind, we need to understand where it comes from in order to be able to address it. And how is it manifested, this evilness of heart? Most often, what comes out of here, out of the mouth? Matthew 15:18 says, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man." Without this to moderate sometimes we get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we open our mouths and speak what's in our hearts, especially if our heart is not right with God. Luke 6:45 gives the comparison between a evil man with an evil heart and a good man with a good heart. For he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. So it's not just speech, but it's what he does, his actions, his lifestyle, his conversation, as scripture puts it. There's a couple of differences of meaning in heart in the Old Testament. I need to speak to those in case somebody says, well, you know, it's not just all heart stuff that relates to what we're talking about here. The other references are specifically to the stranger that is in the land and to inanimate objects, both of which bear no relationship to a walk with God. And it sort of struck me that the rest of the references, when we start going through them, all bear some relationship in their context in Scripture with our relationship with God. And that, to me, adds to this level of importance of knowing what the heart actually is and how we react with it. It seems to be, just before I move on a little bit, the New Testament, the Hebrew word is cardia. And I was hoping Leo would be here today because he knows all about cardia. It's our modern word, cardia. Mm. So, quite specifically, the heart, that organ inside us. But how is it used? The heart appears to be a repository for some fairly, I'll say, nebulous type terms that we associate with spirituality. 1 Samuel 24 verse 5 says, David's heart smote him. Now I know most of us, all of us, I'm praying, have a conscience, because that's what smote David. And to me, that's where things like conscience reside, or tend to be aggregated in the scriptures, in this area of the heart. Once again, not just the physical thing, but this whole centre of our being. We can compare that with, we've read our faith chapter today, but in Samuel 2, oh no, sorry, carry on. We compare that with Romans 10 verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we have a repository, our heart, for the word of faith. All of a sudden we have a link to all these faith articles in our chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. Ephesians 3:17 says something similar, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that an amazing thing to have connected with the heart? So if we don't understand the heart, how can we understand that word of faith which is implanted in it? And then how do we know the love of Christ who dwells in us? And how can we then be filled with the fullness of God? Romans 5:5 gives us the clue to that. There it states that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. These nebulous spiritual terms, faith, conscience, love of God, word of God, Holy Spirit. That's our connection with God. Heart is really important in our connection with God. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "You are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone," and we all know the next bit, "but in the fleshy tables of the heart." So the law of God, not written on tables of stone, which we know Moses received on the mount, but the fleshy tables of our hearts, written on our hearts today. Extremely relevant, I think. Obviously, there's some negative aspects to mentions of the heart in Scripture. Romans 7:17 says, "Sin dwells in me." We've compared other things with the heart being evil. And we've read also how we reach the stage of death in James 1, verses 14 and 15, where man is tempted of his own lust, and lust, when it is conceived, brings forth death. So where does that lust come from? We have these good things associated with the heart, but all of a sudden we find lust is a emotion, if you like, or a desire associated with the heart as well. Proverbs 6:25 says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart." And Matthew again says something similar. "Lustful looks. By lustful looks we commit adultery in our hearts," just paraphrasing the verse a little bit. So how can these two opposite desires, lust and love, dwell in the same repository, the same place, the same word is used in Scripture for both? Another instance we find in Acts, where an action has resulted in a heart that is not right. And thinking specifically about the laying on the apostles' hands to pass on the gifts of the Spirit, when one Simon saw what was happening and desired to purchase the ability to be able to transfer this power of the Holy Spirit. What was Paul's response? Paul says in verse 21 in Acts 8, "Your heart is not right." He was doing it not knowing what was in his heart was wrong. He still had to learn. He still had to have that understanding. He's like the people that read and don't understand. He was getting the outline of what was there, but he didn't connect the dots. It wasn't happening for him. And so he thought he could purchase the gifts. That's not the sort of heart that I believe that we should have as believers in Christ. However, John 14 verse 1 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And often I've found that verse a comfort for me when I've been in a situation where I thought, what happens next? A situation we strike, or seem to strike reasonably regular in our lives. But John 14 comes up time and time again. "Let not your heart be troubled." It's a way of calming us, a way of controlling the mind to stop the brain racing. Our heart slows down, and we find a certain peace. And in that peace we find a treasure, and that treasure is Christ. Matthew 6 and Luke 12 both speak of where your treasure is, there will the heart be also. So if we make our treasure Christ and we seek to gain Christ at all cost, then our heart will follow. We will gradually learn that understanding that comes from God about our knowledge of Jesus Christ. It becomes more than just a word on a page. It becomes a word sown in our heart, as we find in Mark 4. We read in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts, us brothers and sisters, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That light which leads us to Christ was planted in us. Repository, the heart, again. We're told not to let our hearts wax gross in Matthew 13, but to rather understand with our hearts, and paraphrasing a little bit, understand with our hearts, be converted and be healed. There's a process we have to go through, and the heart is at the start of it. It's the mechanism by which God deals with us, talks with us, instructs us, works with us, comforts us. And a number of times in dire situations when you think, I'm at the end, I can't go on, there is a peace that's found in our hearts that gets us through. And that peace can only come from God. On that note, let us make melody in our hearts, says Ephesians 5. And let the day star arise in our hearts, says 2 Peter. For the end of the commandment, and that's the New Testament commandments, is to love out of a pure heart, with good conscience, and with a faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1. Brothers and sisters, let us follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy. Let us draw near, as we consider the emblems before us, with a true heart, in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, and the word sprinkled means to cleanse lightly and gently from an evil conscience. God is not harsh with us, brothers and sisters, as he cleanses us. Our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water in baptism. So we read in Hebrews chapter 10. So a cleansed heart goes hand in hand with our baptism. So let our prayer be in Psalm, and repeat the words of the psalmist in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So as we examine ourselves this morning, in respect of the emblems, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus the Christ, let us think about what it is we are examining. And I put it to you that we are to examine our relationship with our God, which is manifest from our hearts.